The world leader in Internet Talk Radio. Internet Talk Radio. You're listening to America's Voice, VoiceAmerica.com.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. And Dr. Pat showcases some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, one potential. Get ready to live life full out. Your host, Dr. Pat Basile.
Welcome, everyone, and good morning. Happy Valentine's Day. So I'm going to go into my Marilyn Monroe kind of impersonation of how she sang happy birthday to President Kennedy. Oh, no, wait. Let me not do that. Thank you so much for joining the show today. We've got a fabulous show for you with two amazing people, two people that have committed their lives to helping people like you and me. And they have done so in a variety of ways, but I will say one thing. They have done it with absolutely the strength of their conviction and the courage to take their message out into the world. I'm talking about Rhonda Britton and Dr. Stan Katz. Well, Rhonda, of course, is an amazing life coach, and most of us know her from, you know, this book that pretty much has changed the lives of so many of us, Fearless Living. But now, you know, she is one of the coaches for the hit television show Starting Over. And she has been on so many television shows, radio shows, and she is also the founder of the Fearless Living Institute. She has so much brought her powerful message of busting through so that each and every one of us can live our lives full out, and we so appreciate her. She is joined today by, guess who? Dr. Stan Katz. He is also the clinical, what they call the clinical expertise on Starting Over. And he has, over the years, been called on a number of national television radio programs to serve as an advisor. And he has been on the award-winning ABC theater presentation, Something About Amelia. He has been on after-school specials. He has appeared on Oprah, 2020, CBS, as has Rhonda as well. And, you know, thank you both for joining the show today.
Well, thank you, Pat.
You know, we could talk about so many things, but let me ask you both this question. Here we are on Valentine's Day, and we're looking at Valentine's Day in the tradition of what it means to so many people. And for some people, Valentine's Day is about love and blessings and good sex. For other people, this is internet radio. We can talk about this.
Woo!
For other people, it's the worst day of the year.
Yes.
How do we bridge the gap between the two?
Well, I totally agree with you because there's so many people. I actually have a very close friend of mine that this is her very first Valentine's Day in 45 years that she's ever been with a man. For 44 years, she dreaded Valentine's Day, and even this time she's on this vacation with her new boyfriend, first time Valentine's Day, has a mate, and she's even afraid to be with him on Valentine's Day because what if it does not fulfill her expectations? And I think that if we can just focus on the love aspect of what Valentine's Day means instead of focusing on that I've got to be with something, I think it'll be a much better Valentine's Day. What do you think, Dr. Stan?
Well, I think part of the problem here is that too many people look at this as a commercial enterprise. And so with the commercial enterprise it is, of course, it's run and driven by the card companies more than anything else, and the candy companies. You know, it's sometimes, as Rhonda says, it's about expectations. You know, what do I buy and what do I do and what do I say? Do I have to write poetry? And I think Valentine's Day is just a day that you really can take and examine your relationship and celebrate the positive parts of your relationship. And as you say, for people who don't have relationships, it is sort of an awareness that they don't have a part of life they want to have. But I think it should therefore be something that's motivating to go out there and actually find love because, you know, people can find love today. It's not like it was 20 years ago. There's all kinds of opportunities to find a lasting relationship.
Well, I mean, just even bringing in internet dating, just having the aspects of internet dating or, you know, telling all your friends that you want to be in a relationship, just starting to really kind of be open. I notice that people that are single on Valentine's Day kind of keep it to themselves and really don't share it with other people that they would like a mate or that they're willing to explore what love means.
That's right.
And I think, like what Dr. Stan's saying, I think they start fantasizing about what love means instead of really being willing to do the hard work of what really is love, like how to be a loving person, including how to love yourself. You think, oh, well, if I just have a mate, then I'll feel loved. Well, that's not how it works. If you don't really understand and really appreciate yourself and be able to stand for yourself and have your own boundaries and your own sense of who you are, even if you're in a relationship, you're not going to necessarily feel loved.
Right. Mm. And I think one thing that we should say is that,
okay, you
know, on Valentine's Day, it's not a day to go out and buy expensive presents.
Mm-hmm. Now you tell me.
Yeah, now. I think that, you know, women generally like to get presents on Valentine's Day. I don't think men are that interested. But women like to get presents on Valentine's Day, and they assume that the present is a representation of love. But, you know, the easiest thing for a man is to go out and spend some money. Mm. It's very easy to spend the money. It's much harder to choose a card that is really right for that woman, or to say something, to write something down that's really meaningful. So, I mean, I think that people should look at this holiday, not in a commercial way, but really what they want to express to their mate and what they want to celebrate about.
I love what you're saying, Dr. Stan, because I think I, too, can get caught up, you know, just being a woman. I think you're right.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah.
We fantasize. We, you know, it's like Valentine's Day. You know, I don't know. What do you think, Dr. Pat? I don't know. We're girls, you know.
Well, look at the way that I described it at the top of the show. For some people, you know, it is all about the love. And like I said earlier, you know, the vision and the inspiration of thinking that you're going to have the best sex of your life today.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much that is put into this one day of the year. And, you know, Rhonda, along with that, and you've talked about this in all of your books, along with that, you know, comes sort of the expectation. And, you know, we set ourselves up mm-hmm. for failure and disappointment, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that's one of the big things we do. We put our dreams and hopes on someone else making us happy. So we, you know, kind of build this fortress of expectations, this wall of hope, and we pray that someday, you know, the whole thing about the knight in shining armor, one day there'll be somebody who cares enough about us to break down our walls and to, you know, to come and search for us and find us.
And to make us feel complete.
Yes. And Dr. Stan says the greatest thing on starting over all the time to the women, and I'm going to let you say it, Dr. Stan, about enhancing. I think it's I repeat it over and over to myself.
What
I know
the brilliant thing I said that I can't remember right now?
Well, the brilliant thing that you always say is that a relationship is not here to validate you.
Yeah.
It is here to enhance your life.
Yeah, and I think that's true. I mean, I think that so many people look at a relationship to complete them, and unfortunately that was promulgated by the media in that movie, of course.
Jerry Maguire, you complete me.
Yes, and you know, people thought, oh my God, that's right. But the reality is that relationships are an opportunity to express parts of ourselves, to be vulnerable, and to enjoy a certain part of life that we can't in other ways. It does not, however, make us who we are. It does not make us who we are. It does not define us. And the center of our world still remains ourselves. It doesn't, you know, once we get in trouble when we start making a person the center of our world, because then our expectations, as Rhonda has said, go way out of proportion. So a relationship is like you know, in life we have to balance out what we have. We have our avocations, our vocations, our friends, our family, you know, and we have a relationship. The relationship is not the centerpiece of our life.
And I think that's the key for me this time around. You know, I'm newly in love.
Yes.
And it's, you know,
Where is she in love? Let's see. I can testify to that. I've watched it go all the way from the lust to the love.
And, you know, one of the things, I was out with a friend, a girlfriend the other day, and I said, you know, we were out lunch, and we were working. It was like a working lunch. And I got up from lunch and was starting to walk out of the restaurant. I looked at her and said, you know, the great thing about this relationship is I don't feel different. Like, I don't feel like a part of me is added to or taken away.
Mm.
Which is so important. I just want to say, which is so important, because when you have that feeling, then the expectations are so great,
mm-hmm.
you will never live up to them. Never.
It's true. It's true. And, you know, I think most of the time I've put the relationship, when I've had a relationship, I have put it in the center of my life. It's like smack dab center in my life. And, you know, oh, it's all about him, and what am I doing with him today, and how can I think about him? And is he thinking about me? And how many times has he thought about me today? Is he thinking about me enough? Does he love me enough? You know, and all these, again, these fantasy and hopes that he's going to make me feel better, or feel more, or feel loved in a different way than, you know, I've ever felt before. And that's not happening in this relationship. And that, on one hand, is the great thing, and the other part of that is the scary thing, because that's what I've been, quote-unquote, addicted to all these years, and now I'm in a loving relationship that doesn't necessarily have that quality, and that I know that's a good thing, but I, as a woman, can get caught up in, well, but does he really love me?
Well, that's the burning question, isn't it, though? I mean, that's the question that we ask ourselves as we walk around life every day. You know,
yeah.
In different circumstances with different people.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an expression, it's all about the love. Yeah, it is all about the love, but it's all about, you know, our obsession with the love. And, you know, when people don't give us the love back, when we're not feeling the love, you know, we're like all in this place of non-existence.
Oh, is that not the truth?
Well, I think also that some of us are not surrounded by love in our lives by friends and family. And so I think that when you don't have love in your life, and I'm talking about non-romantic love, when you don't have love in your life, I think you feel desperate. And when you come from a desperate place, you put love too high on a pedestal, and it can never work out that way.
Mm. I think that's such an important thing, and it makes me think of something that I know that one of my own personal favorite sayings is, you know, unless you're actually being who you are, like you're authentically being yourself and expressing all of yourself and being true to yourself, no matter if somebody loves you, you know, trying to love you or not, the point is you'll never feel loved because you'll know you're hiding out. So the trick is to really express who you are and to share parts of yourself, to really allow yourself to be who you are. Because then when you have that love in your life, you're going to actually feel loved because you're going to feel accepted and feel cared for and feel enhanced instead of that validation. But if you don't express yourself and really be authentically you, you're never really going to feel loved because you know you're hiding out. So even if they tell you
that's so true, because you are able to do that now in this relationship. Unfortunately,
yes.
As you both know, many people read the books that say, you know, fake it, you know, until you make it.
Oh!
And the books that say, you know, well, don't call me if you want to, and don't do this, and don't do that, and here's how you snag your guy. And, of course, what happens is you're selling something that's inauthentic,
yes.
That is not a valid persona. And then, of course, you wonder why you break up later on, because men have expectations, as do women, based on the relationship's beginning. And so the reality is, why don't people share themselves in the way you're talking about, Rhonda? And I'll tell you why. They're scared to death.
Yeah, let's hold that thought, because that opens up a door for an entirely new conversation. And you all have done such fabulous work on starting over. We're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back from the break. But this really now enters this zone, Rhonda, right? This fearless living zone.
Yeah.
Because we approach life as if we need to be fearless in our jobs, we need to be fearless with our children. But how about being fearless with the love we have for ourselves? So let's hold that thought, and we'll take a short break. For those of you just tuning in, happy Valentine's Day to you. My guests today are two amazing people. They are a part of the coaching team of Starting Over, this Emmy-winning daytime reality show. We're going to be talking about that when we come back. Let's give out your website, Rhonda and Dr. Stan. Let's give out your website for folks in case they want to follow us online.
Well, my website is fearlessliving.org, fearlessliving.org. And Dr. Stan, he still has to get a website. I keep bugging him.
I've been a little busy, you know. I haven't done this yet, but listen, they can go to Rhonda and always contact me through Rhonda, too.
Absolutely. You can go to fearlessliving.org and find Dr. Stan as well as myself.
Okay, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the art of delegating for Dr. Stan. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to take a short break. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By, and guess who I am? As Benny would call me, I'm Dr. P. I'm here with Rhonda Britton and Dr. Stan Katz. We're talking about love, love, love. All you need is love. Some days you do, and some days you absolutely feel like that's the last thing you want. We're going to talk about it right here today on this show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Lights go out and I can't be seen. Tides that I tried to swim against. Walk me down and pull me.
Informative, educational, insightful. You're listening to VoiceAmerica.com.
Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to discover what's preventing you or your business from obtaining your goals, dreams, and vision. The Inquiring Mind is your partner. Listen Fridays at 11 a.m. as Stephanie Durham, professional life coach, presents ACES, Authenticity, Choices, Empowerment, and Success. Spanning 25 years of successful business tenure, in addition to over 4 years of training with Caroline Mace at the CMED Institute, Stephanie's authenticity and vast knowledge helps you objectively explore wise choices with her finely attuned facilitator skills, leading you to personal empowerment and ultimate success. Do you know you have power to create what you want in your life and in business? You do. This message will self-absorb in 5 seconds. For more information, call us toll-free at 1-866-461-6463.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. You've heard me talk about it, and now it's here. The book, Inspiration to Realization, Volume 2. Real women reveal proven strategies for personal, business, financial, and spiritual fulfillment. And guess what? Dr. Pat leads the book off with the 3 secrets to living life full out. Order your copy now by going to www.thedrpatshow.com or call me at 206-523-5522. 206-523-5522.
New Spirit Journal is a publication dedicated to informing, inspiring, uplifting, and amusing you, our readers. Within its pages, you will find articles and resources that make you think, feel, question, and sometimes chuckle. New Spirit Journal provides a forum for living, growing, and learning. Our writers and advertisers have something to share with the rest of the community and are as diverse as the community itself. They are regular people just like you. At New Spirit, we see every day as a new adventure. New Spirit Journal is available at 425 locations from Bellingham to Olympia and the East Side. Get your copy today and have yourself an adventure, or visit us on the web at newspiritjournal.com. Again, that's newspiritjournal.com.
Hi, this is Rhonda Britton. You're listening to Crust Busting with Pat. She really is fantastic. She helps hundreds and thousands of people change their lives just like I do.
Continuing to be the authority in Internet Talk Radio, you're listening to VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 1-888-335-5204. Now back to the program. Here's Dr. Pat Basile.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for listening to the show today. Oh, unbelievable. We have with us Dr. Stan Katz and Rhonda Britton. For Rhonda, you know, she's been called America's favorite life coach, and I will tell you why, but I don't have enough time on this show to do it. She is absolutely amazing. If you've ever seen her, as I have, she will transform your life in a matter of seconds, boy, and you better be ready to move on it. Dr. Katz is the co-author of False Love and Other Romantic Illusions, some of which we're talking about today. But both of you have just...
And Pat, and I've been called America's favorite psychologist on Starting Over.
Yes, you have.
You're the only psychologist on Dr. Stan on Starting Over.
That's right.
You've been called Dr. Favorite.
That's right, Dr. Favorite on Starting Over. Yeah.
Yes, Dr. Favorite
on the show. Yeah.
No, I love Dr. Stan, boy. When he first, because Dr. Stan wasn't with us season one. Starting Over's had 3 seasons. And so second season happens, and the executive producer comes to me and says, "Well, we're interested in changing a few things, Rhonda. And we're thinking about bringing a male psychologist on the show."
Did you go, ah?
I did. I went, "Oh, that patriarchal society. What are you thinking about? The women can't handle the problems. What, we have to bring a man in to solve all the tough problems?" Oh, I was, "No way. I'm not." Right? And then, you know, so I meet him, and I'm kind of like,
you should have seen her look. Distrust, distrust, distrust.
I can't even imagine what that was like for you, Stan, walking in there.
But the thing is, the minute we started working together, we fell in love with each other.
We clicked.
Yeah, we click, and, you know, he is one of the greatest assets of Starting Over. I really believe that Starting Over has a whole new, you know, just a different feel and a deeper dimension and an ability to go places that we did not, were not able to go without him. So he is literally just keeps me sane at work. Without Dr. Stan.
And it's been great because Rhonda and I do sessions together sometimes. And it really, you know, it's wonderful because she brings a different perspective than I do.
Mm-hmm.
She not only brings a female perspective, she brings a coaching perspective, and I bring the male psychology perspective. And I think the women really benefit from that combination.
Absolutely.
Well, some people have called it the 1-2 punch. People that watch the show, my listeners that watch your show, you know, have watched you too. And, you know, there is, the show is actually amazing. And as we all know that, you know, it is an Emmy Award winner, and you have also been nominated again.
Yes, which
we
is
have.
Very exciting.
Two Emmys. You know, Pat, I was going to say that, you know, Rhonda and I, you say it's a 1-2 punch, but, you know, we tell it like it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, apropos to our topic today about Valentine's Day and love, you know, I think this whole idea of being fake in relationships, which so many people recommend in the popular press, to kind of meet someone in a fake way, to not show them who you are. For example, don't tell them that you really like them. Don't call them until a week's gone by. Don't act too anxious. Don't act on your true feelings. And, of course, we wonder why relationships don't last more than a year or two often.
Yes.
Well, yeah, because you wake up. Well, you wake up next to that person one day, and it's like you're living with a total stranger.
You're living with you as a total stranger.
Yes.
And then you wonder, and then when you blame it on them. Like, and then you say, I can't be myself around you. It's like, honey, you weren't yourself before you met them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so here we are. We look at our mates and blame them because we're not expressing ourselves, or we feel hemmed in by their desires, where it's like, excuse me, it's not their fault. You're the one not expressing yourself. You're not the one. You're the one not putting boundaries in place. You're the one not being authentic. So don't look at your mate, and do not look at your mate and say, they're keeping me from expressing myself.
That's right.
No one can keep you from being yourself. You're the one too afraid to get rejected, too afraid of the consequences, too afraid of the unknown to actually risk being yourself. And that's the only way you'll feel loved.
And you will get rejected, ultimately,
yes,
if you do not present an authentic self. Because ultimately, your partner is going to look at you and say, this is not what I want. I wanted the person I met. The person I met is not you. And that's true because you didn't present yourself in an honest way.
Yeah, and I just think that, you know, again, I'm just going to go back to this, that you'll never feel loved unless you're being true to yourself. So, you know, if you're sitting here right now, perhaps, you know, you're listening to us right now and you're wondering, why isn't my relationship working? You know, I invite you not to look at your mate, but I invite you to look at yourself. Where are you not doing what Dr. Stan and I are talking about? Where are you really not being who you truly want to be? Because it's the only way you're going to feel alive. It's the only way you're going to feel in love with yourself so that you're actually able to share that love, those feelings of freedom with another person and not have that judgment.
Okay. So let me ask you this question. I mean, you know, I don't have to say very much about, you know, the latest craze in internet dating. I mean, it has just taken the world by storm. So let's talk a little bit about that, because there are some people that actually are advocates of it, of internet dating, internet connecting, because you are forced, in order to be successful, you are forced to have to share who you are and what you do. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, let me just say this. I'm a great advocate of people meeting people in any way they can, because I think that you have to meet a lot of people. You know, you have to kiss a lot of frogs to find your prince, of course. And so what happens is, I think whatever way you can meet people, it doesn't matter. But here's the issue. The Internet is infamous for people not being honest and authentic, for people being different in who they say they are, for people saying, I'm much younger, I'm this person, I'm that person. And so we run into that problem. Now, if someone's going to be honest, as Rhonda talks about all the time, if they're going to go on Internet dating, and if they're going to go on any kind of Match.com or any kind of dating service even, and they present themselves in an authentic, genuine way, what they're going to find is they're going to find people who genuinely validate the things they like about themselves. And they're not going to be having to fake it every day to be one step ahead of the person finding out who they really are.
And I think that's such a good point, because one thing that we forget when we're dating, Dr. Stan, you brought it up, is you have to meet a lot of people. And I'm a big advocate of internet dating, actually. I believe in internet dating. And I believe in it for lots of different reasons, but one specifically. If you haven't been dating for a while, if you haven't been out there, if you've been sitting at home for the last 7 years because you got burned or you got divorced and you think, oh my God, I don't know if I'm ready, internet dating is an opportunity for you to kind of, you know, go out there, practice talking on the phone. You know, you have to take measures, of course. Email first, then get on the phone, and then eventually meet in a very public place in the beginning. But yes, Dr. Stan is correct in the fact that many people out there, because they're afraid of getting rejected, there are actual websites that will only let you go for a certain age range.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, you know, eHarmony, you have to go for a specific age range, and you can't, you can alter it one way, but you can't alter it another way. So, for instance, when I was on eHarmony, you know, I could only go for a specific, they're very, I don't want to say
very
strict,
narrow.
They're very narrow in your age selection.
Okay.
They make it broad, but it's very narrow. You can't really change certain aspects of it. So, you know, on one hand, it doesn't allow you to meet as many people as you'd like. And it, what it's trying to do is give you more age-appropriate. But, you know, go on Match.com, go on eHarmony.com. There's so many. JDate is a great website. I've had so many.
Soul Match is another one now. That's the latest one.
Soul Match?
Soul Match.
And, I mean, there's just so many. I remember I used to do One and Only, but I don't even think it exists anymore. I think it's been folded into other ones. But there's so many. There's so many. Find a site that works for you. Really present yourself to be authentic, to present your authentic self. And, you know what, if somebody doesn't, you know, want to hang with you or isn't interested in you, my whole motto is good. Good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's fantastic. I'm telling you that if you go out with somebody who doesn't like you, that's fantastic. I'll tell
yes.
you why. Because you're not going to wind up in a relationship that's based on false promises, illusions, and delusions.
Yes.
And so it's important to find out very quickly what you like and don't like. And the only way to do that is to reveal who you truly are. You know,
yes.
I say to women sometimes in my practice, they'll say, you know, I'm dating a guy. And I'll say, well, let me ask a question. What are his intentions? Does he want to get married some days? Does he want to have kids? And the woman will look at me and say, I could never ask that question. I say, you can't ask him what his life goals are, what his ambitions are. Well, I've read the books. They've told me not to ask that because a man will think I want to get married. And I said, do you want to get married? Yes. Do you want to have kids? Yes. So what are you lying for him for?
Yes.
What are you telling him? You know, the reality is that I tell these women in an initial conversation, find out what he
mm-hmm.
wants. If he wants just to date, just have fun, just have a sexual interlude, find it out. Then you get to make your choice. You get to figure out if that's where you're at. But if you're not there, you're selling yourself short because then you enter that deception.
So rejection is a thing that must happen if you're on the search for love. And with every rejection comes an opportunity to focus on loving yourself. So that's really what, you know, I advocate, is that rejection isn't about rejecting you as a human being. It's about you getting to practice loving yourself and saying, you know what, it's totally okay.
And you know what, Rhonda, it's a challenge for change, and I'll tell you why. If you get rejected a lot, and you find that there's parts of yourself that you don't like,
mm-hmm.
and that people are not, you know, appreciating, you get to change. You get to make those changes. It gives you some sense. If you're caustic and sarcastic and kind of a hostile person, you know, and you're getting that feedback from people who aren't going to love you that way, they really aren't, because there's no basis, foundation for love in that relationship. If you're getting that kind of feedback, you get to have an opportunity to change there. It is a challenge to change yourself, but not for those people, for yourself.
Okay, so when we come back from break, we're going to talk about this. Because, you know, we talk about, and Rhonda, I just heard you say it, we talk about this idea of rejection as an opportunity for us to grow, for us to love ourselves. But, it you know, when we're in the middle of that rejection, it's our darkest day. It's our darkest night. And, you know, both of you, I know, have worked with people and have helped them move beyond that big R, that idea of rejection. And, you know, help people realize that this is all about finding the true love with yourself. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with Rhonda Britton and Dr. Stan Katz, we will be giving you tips on how to deal with this idea of, quote, rejection. And so that each and every one of us can really feel the love that we have for ourselves. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. My special guest today, Dr. Stan Katz and Rhonda Britton. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
connecting your world. The Internet's number one talk and information station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Send a calendar to a soldier in Iraq. Susan McKeith created a drive-through Puget Sound Espresso Stands 2006 calendar. All of the proceeds are being donated to Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center. You can also donate a coffee-flavored taste of home and send one to a soldier serving in Iraq so they can count down the days until they return home. To do this, call 1-800-578-3674. That's 1-800-578-3674.
In today's climate of escalating religious tension, an increasing number of Americans consider themselves spiritual but not religious. But where is a spiritual seeker to turn if not to a church, mosque, or temple? An answer and many new questions lie in the award-winning book, God Without Religion, by ascetic and mystic Shankara Sharanam. God Without Religion offers a groundbreaking bridge between organized religion and personal spirituality. Join Shankara on the Dr. Pat Show, January 19th, to learn how direct knowledge of God can empower you. For more information about Shankara and God Without Religion, please visit the website godwithoutreligion.com. That's godwithoutreligion.com.
Are you dedicated to exploring a wide range of holistic perspectives to help make important decisions for you or your family? Would you like to have comprehensive information at your fingertips? If so, then Wisdom Magazine is for you. And it's free at holistic businesses in your community right now. In every issue, you'll find thought-provoking articles as well as a complete directory of holistic services, products, and business opportunities that are available in your area. Take advantage of Wisdom's competitive advertising rates to showcase your own programs and services, too. It's easy. Just visit us on the web at wisdom-magazine.com and take a look at what we can do for you. That's wisdom-magazine.com. Wisdom is dedicated to opening people's hearts and minds to alternative philosophies, products, and services. Pick up your free copy at a holistic business near you or visit us on the web and find out what speaks to your heart.
The world leader in Internet Talk Radio.
Internet Talk Radio.
You're listening to America's Voice. VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 1-888-335-5204. Now back to the program. Here's Dr. Pat Basile.
Welcome back, everyone, and welcome on this fabulous, fabulous Valentine's Day. And, you know, I'm here with two of my favorite people, Dr. Stan Katz and Rhonda Britton. Of course, they are your favorite people as well because you have tuned in to their hit show, Starting Over. And they are such an amazing, actually, the show is fabulous. What I wanted to ask you both, I know, Rhonda, you have a website, which is fearlessliving.org, but you have an upcoming book. You have another book coming out.
I sure do.
March
2nd, I have a book called Do I Look Fat in This? Get Over Your Body and On With Your Life. And I'm really dealing with the body image issues that we all carry around with us, which is, you know, kind of ties into it today because how many people, boy, I can't even tell you how many people I interviewed for this book that have not dated because of how they feel with their body or will not get in a romantic or intimate relationship because of how they feel about their body. They don't want to hold hands because that means somebody would touch their stomach. You know, they don't want to have anyone look at them because they feel too ugly or too fat or too disgusting. They don't want to get naked with a man or naked with a woman because of how they feel about themselves. So if you haven't, you know, gone out, if you haven't dated, if you haven't gotten intimate with your mate lately, and if you're having negative feelings about your body, this is actually the only body image book that is out there in this vein because most body image books are connected to an eating disorder or emotional eating or, you know, media bashing or women's studies.
Or diet
or health. And so this is actually the only true body image book that really just talks about your relationship with your body and how to really make it your best friend. And if that thought, you know, wants to, you know, makes you want to regurgitate, throw up at the thought of making your body your best friend, then you definitely need to get it. So Do I Look Fat in This? Get Over Your Body and On With Your Life, March 2nd. And you can pre-order it on Amazon.com or go to fearlessliving.org.
Okay, so there you go, Amazon.com or fearlessliving.org. And you're absolutely right. I mean, we're talking about the love today. And
yeah.
So what we're talking about is the love for the body in this book. And you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, there are books about dieting. There are books about other things. But what you, it sounds like you're getting to really the core of the issue.
Yeah, and you know, I know that passion and relationships is so important, you know, and that fear of rejection. And I think many times women believe they're getting rejected based on how they look. You know, they don't like me because I'm overweight. They don't like me because I don't have blonde hair. They don't like me because I'm not 5'6". If only I was more beautiful. So, you know, and passion in our relationships. I know for myself, you know, I'm divorced, but when I was married, when my husband and I's relationship started losing some of that passion, the first thing I did was gain weight. I gained weight so that I was like, oh, yeah, see, he doesn't want me because look how I look. You know, I couldn't face the problems at the time in my marriage, so I made it about me and my weight. And I blamed my weight for our lack of passion. I blamed my weight on all our for all our marital problems. So I could, you know, so I could just point the finger at me rather than making him the wrong or bad guy. So many times in relationships we use our body as kind of the crutch, or, you know, the avoidance technique, the avoidance tool, the main excuse. So body and love have a lot to do with each other.
So that leads to this question. I mean, we're talking about relationships and body and love. And, you know, one of the things, Dr. Stan, you talked about was this idea of healthy relationships. We hear, so often we hear about what's not working in a relationship. But what does, you know, what are the components, what are the characteristics of healthy, of having a healthy relationship?
Well, I think the first characteristic or first necessary component is that you have a friendship. The friendship acts to insulate you from those difficult times. And you can see this when people fight and argue. And let me tell you how you see this. There'll be an argument. And what people will do is they'll actually try to have a repair mechanism occur in the argument. They'll sort of like make fun of themselves or laugh at some point. And that's an attempt to repair. And so when you have a friendship, there are always attempts to repair when you have a conflict. So one of the things you have to have is a friendship that really relies on some deeper, deeper issues than passion, lust, and sex. Because passion, lust, and sex never sustain a relationship. They're only components of it, but they won't sustain it. The friendship will actually sustain it. You have to have mutual respect. You have to recognize that you have to be vulnerable, because as Rhonda and I've talked about, if you're not vulnerable, people really can't love who you are. And this goes to the rejection issue, Pat, which I want to talk about for a moment. And that is that, you know, when people get rejected, when someone sits down and says, you know what, you're not the right person for me, we find ourselves devastated, but we have to ask the question of why we want to love someone who does not love us.
Yes.
Why we're attracted to unrequited love. What is it about love that sounds so wonderful that we're willing to take it at all costs? Love is really about mutuality. It's about reciprocity. It's about, if this person loves me, adores me, cares for me, and I do the same for them. Why do we want to love someone who doesn't respect us, care about us, who's not attracted to us? If someone... You know, as Rhonda was talking about body image, if someone likes men who are thin and effeminate, should I be offended because they're not attracted to me, because I'm certainly not a thin, effeminate man? Should I be offended by that?
Mm-hmm.
Or should I recognize that that person's not the right person for me?
But what you're talking about, Dr. Stan, is, you know, what I call scraps of love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many women and men are willing to accept scraps of love because that's all they believe they're worth.
Yes.
You know, so you know what? If you look at me a certain way and I have a butterfly feeling, then I must love you. And when you reject me, I'm like, why is he rejecting me? I have the butterfly feeling. And if I have the butterfly feeling, then I know we're meant to be together. It's like they take that one moment of, you know, flirtation, or that one moment of, you know, heightened experience or heightened feeling, and actually turn that into what they think love is.
Yeah, to misinterpretation. The same thing with lust, though. Lust has nothing to do with love. It has nothing to do with love, although love sometimes has lust as a component.
Mm-hmm.
But there's lust all the time in the world, and has nothing to do with love whatsoever. It's purely biological, biochemical, and lust often gets mistaken as love. I call it false love, and it's an illusion of what love is.
Well, you know, Tina Turner had a hit song based on that.
Right.
You know, what's love got to do with it?
Exactly.
Well,
that's,
you know,
fine. As long as the listeners recognize, people can go out there and have lust and have sex and have great sex and enjoy themselves, but they may not be a loving relationship. You don't want to mistake it. You know, in high school, girls would often say to the boys before they had sex with them, do you love me? And the boy would say, of course I love you, because he wanted sex. And
mm-hmm.
So sometimes what we have to do, it depends how we grew up, we have to somehow put a label on it that the only way we can have sex is if we love that person. And so we pretend we love them to be able to have sex. when we really should be able to acknowledge that we're having sex with them and it has nothing to do with love.
Now, let me ask you this question, because, you know, we've gone through the era of, you know, the flower children, where love, sex, you know, it wasn't, you know, a dirty word.
Right.
It was the whole free love society. And then we've moved out of that era and into what some are calling a much more conservative time in our culture here. What is your take on that? I mean, if you're not in love, it's almost like it's not fashionable anymore. You know, just walking up to someone and, you know, feeling good about having the passion for sex seems to be getting a dirty name.
Well, I mean, I tell you, I think that the young people today are a little different than that. I think they went through the conservative period. Young people today are hooking up, as they say,
yes,
more than ever before. I think there's much more indiscriminate sex. I think certainly they have, you know, they've moved away from the AIDS scare generation that was produced after the hippies. And I think these people are now hooking up a lot. And when I see a lot of young women who are, quote, hooking up a lot, sometimes trying to find love, sometimes just trying to find identity, sometimes, as Rhonda says, to find those snippets of love that, you know, they're just the small pieces. I mean, you know, listen, if you go to a bar and you go home one night with a guy, you get to pretend you're in love for one night.
Mm-hmm.
You get to pretend that somebody cares about you for that night.
Mm-hmm. But that's never enough.
Not
because,
at all.
You know, you do that time after time, day after day, and all of a sudden a month passes or 3 months passes or a year passes, and you think, why doesn't anybody stay? And, you know, we have a tendency to look at other people and, again, want them to fight for us. But the fact is, our behavior is, you know, the thing that's causing them, not the opening, you're not being vulnerable, you're not building a friendship, you're just having casual sex. And casual sex is really not necessarily the ultimate environment to build a loving, lasting friendship that turns into a relationship.
In fact, you know, it's really interesting to me that people are so willing to get naked physically before they ever get naked emotionally.
Mm.
I mean, it's such an odd...
Well, it's actually easier, though.
Oh, it is, but...
I mean, isn't it easier? For a lot of people, isn't it easier?
I think you're right, but I think it's still very contradictory. You know, you go to a bar and 2 hours later you're home with some guy naked in bed with him in the most intimate sexual position, and you look at the person, you don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, you know, you have to look at the motivation behind it, and I think so many women in particular are desperate for love that they actually will go out and try to have that small piece of love, as Rhonda talks about.
You know, and that's one of the things that I advocate, you know, and I know it's a tough thing to do, trust me, is to hold off on sex.
Yes.
Until you really get to know this person. You know, don't meet at a bar, you know, when you're meeting after you do an internet dating and say, let's meet at this bar at 9 o'clock at night. No, you're just inviting disaster. You know, meet at a coffee shop, meet at a breakfast restaurant, so the chance of, you know, jumping into bed together are rare or non-existent. And then you get to talk and connect,
mm-hmm,
and see if you have any emotional connections, any mutual interests, anything that sparks you at all. I mean, just to discover who this person is and discover yourself with this person. Because for me, dating is all about discovering who you are. I know for myself, when I've dated, I discover so much about myself, and I get to practice so many skills. You know, I get to practice, okay, how does it feel to be rejected? I get to practice speaking up for myself. I get to practice putting boundaries in place. I get to practice saying yes and no. So dating isn't just about finding the one. It's really about, okay, how do I become the one for myself? How do I become the person that I am so proud to be, that I'm so excited to be after, you know, after really focusing on my own self-development? So dating is just a huge playground for self-evolution. And if you think of it that way, then it becomes a whole different experience. It really becomes an opportunity for you to just have so much fun.
Mm.
Right.
You know, let's take a short break. When we come back, this next segment is for all of you all out there that are already hooked up. You hooked up and you're in that relationship and you're wondering, oh my goodness, what happened to the fire? You're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. I'm Dr. Pat. My special guest today, Dr. Stan Katz and Rhonda Britton from the Emmy Award winning daytime reality show Starting Over. And of course, your favorite psychologist from the show, Dr. Stan Katz and Rhonda Britton, fearless living, fearless loving. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Bringing the world together. You're listening to America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Are you feeling stuck, heavy, or crusted over in some part of your life? Have you lost your spark? Would you like help realizing your dream? Do you know what you want? Call Dr. Pat Basile, certified career and belief coach, who wants to help you stop those negative thoughts that keep you running in circles. This award-winning author and researcher, Dr. Pat Basile, brings a powerful, innovative approach to helping individuals live life full out. Call 206-523-5522 for a free consultation. That's 206-523-5522. Introducing a powerful trend-setting beverage, the world's first healthy coffee. This coffee is healthy because it delivers Ganoderma lucidum, the king of herbs. Gano Coffee. Pre-measured, pre-packaged to deliver a perfect cup of coffee every time. You just add water, stir, and enjoy. It's fast and convenient. Your friends and family will love it too. Available as black, mocha, or with cream and sugar. Our coffee sells for a mere 45 cents to 90 cents per packet. Who's responsible for your future health and wealth? Try Ganoderma Lucidum. People will spend their health to get their wealth. Then they will have to spend their wealth to regain their health. Don't let this happen to you. Go to gotgano.org. That's gotgano.org.
Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to discover what's preventing you or your business from obtaining your goals, dreams, and vision. The Inquiring Mind is your partner. Listen Fridays at 11 a.m. as Stephanie Durham, professional life coach, presents ACES, Authenticity, Choices, Empowerment, and Success. Spanning 25 years of successful business tenure, in addition to over 4 years of training with Caroline Mace at the CMED Institute, Stephanie's authenticity and vast knowledge helps you objectively explore wise choices with her finely attuned facilitator skills, leading you to personal empowerment and ultimate success. Do you know you have power to create what you want in your life and in business? You do. This message will self-absorb in 5 seconds. For more information, call us toll-free at 1-866-461-6463.
Hi, this is Mark Victor Hansen, and you know me for the Chicken Soup for the Soul, but right now I want to tell you that you've got to listen to my friend Dr. Pat. If you want insights that are out of sight, if you want to go to the next level in your life, you keep listening to this show, because she is so kind and generous that she even lets me recommend my website, markvictorhansen.com, and if you go there, we want to give you goodies. But Pat is giving you the goodies of a bigger, better mind-brain complex, so you can get results that have results that are residual, so you get to have money freedom, time freedom, spiritual freedom, relationship freedom, and go to the highest level, which she's teaching you, which is your genius freedom.
Continuing to be the authority in Internet Talk Radio, you're listening to VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 1-888-335-5204. Now back to the program. Here's Dr. Pat Basile.
Welcome back, everyone. And, yes, you are enjoying this fabulous show with Dr. Stan Katz and Rhonda Britton. You know, we were talking during the break about, you know, relationships that we have now, current relationships, relationships that we've been in. And you read a lot about the spark, you know, just dying out. There is no spark. So, you know, what can we do? What can we say to folks that are in that place where they'd love to have the Valentine's Day of their life and then not feeling the love?
Well, you have to, first of all, Pat, you have to normalize it. And the reality is that lust, you know, which is that incredible biochemical feeling that drives us in relationships, lasts anywhere from about 6 months to 2 years. And we know that scientifically. We know that when you measure it, that after about 2 years, that initial lust is always gone. Now, what takes its place is a deeper romantic relationship. But people constantly mourn the loss of the lust.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly mourn. They'll say, why don't I feel what I used to feel? And instead of looking at the reality here that you don't feel it because that's what happens, as opposed to the partner, something's wrong with the partner. This is why people have affairs at times. They want to feel those feelings again that, you know, have to do with excitement and newness and revealing ourselves. And the reality is that in all relationships, lust turns into something deeper. Now, here's the problem with passion. Passion, if you're a passionate person, you will be passionate throughout your lifetime in various aspects of your life. If your passion is driven by lust, you may not be able to continue the passion in your relationship. So one of the things that people have to find out about their partners, are they truly a passionate person, or are they only driven by their sexual hormones?
Mm.
And there's a difference there. Now, the other thing is this. Valentine's Day is a wonderful opportunity for people to stretch, as Rhonda likes to say, stretch and risk.
That's right.
And to really go further. And, you know, one of the things about sex is that in order for us to really have great sex, we have to have anxiety, because anxiety produces excitement. Well, most of us are so comfortable with our sex lives. We get into bed on Friday nights, and we turn over and make love like we do every Friday night or every Sunday morning, wherever it is, that there's no anxiety associated with it. So you have to do something that's exciting, because excitement causes anxiety. And so if you can do things to shake it up, then throughout your whole marriage, not just on Valentine's Day, you can create the passion that you had initially, but not in the same, you know, not for longevity, but in spurts. And that's all you need to do.
And we like surprises. I mean, what you're talking about, Dr. Stan, is, you know, to continue to surprise one another and start to discover one another, keep discovering one another. I remember talking to a man about a year ago, and he was talking about his wife. And they'd been together probably 15 years at this point. And he said, oh, she's still a mystery to me. And it wasn't like she keeps secrets or, you know, she never tells him anything. It's just that he was so enthralled with her ability to change into, you know, just her, you know, just the way she thinks.
Uh-huh.
She's willing to grow and to change, that she was always, he was always discovering something new about her, because she was always discovering something new about herself.
Right.
And really being willing to transform and to look at herself in new ways. And I think that's part of the newness too. You know, are you willing to grow? Are you willing to change? Are you willing to discover? Are you willing to have new passions? You know, maybe pick up skiing. I mean, I think as our willingness to kind of try new things in our own individual lives, we'll be able to bring some of that passion and that newness into our love relationships.
Right. Right, I agree.
Well, do you think that over time in relationships that we get better at asking for what we want in the relationship, or that we get worse, actually?
Well, I'll tell you, over time you have two kinds of people. The good relationship, healthy relationship, where we get better at it, where we are more assured by our needs because we're more of an individual and we're less tied to that romantic concept, so we can assert ourselves more. But then there's a lot of people who just get fatigued, because they don't think they're getting needs met, so they stop asking for them. So I see couples, for example, who haven't had sex in 5 years. And I'll say, have you talked about this? No, we don't even talk about it anymore.
Right, and so that's the thing. You know, we forget that we're valuable and we're valued, and that we have to value ourselves to be valued, because the only person that can value you is you, ultimately. And the more that you're willing to say, this is what I need and this is what I want, not from a nagging perspective, not like you have to fulfill it, but you also have to be willing to kind of look at yourself and ask, what are those needs? What needs do you want need fulfilled, and which ones do really need your mate needs to fulfill, versus you can fulfill them maybe with family and friends. I mean, obviously, right, there are sexual needs, obviously with your mate, but there are so many other emotional needs, connection needs, gift giving needs that other people can fulfill, and you have to be willing to ask for them. So if your relationship isn't the way you want, you know, don't look at your mate, don't point the finger over there. Instead, ask yourself, what am I not doing to be true to myself? What am I not doing to express myself? What am I not asking for? What am I not expressing?
And you know what else, Rhonda? You also have to ask yourself, are you loving this person? Because
yes,
when you love someone, you love them unconditionally, in the sense that you love who they are. You've chosen this mate. You love who they are. You don't like everything they do. You're not going to appreciate everything they do, but you love them. And that love has to transcend anything else in order to make a relationship work, because you really have made that choice to love that person. It's not a romantic gesture. It's not biochemical. It's a choice we make to love people.
I think that's so important, Dr. Stan, because people forget when the lust dies, they think the relationship is dead and they must not love them anymore. But love is a choice, and
right,
it's an action. You have to take actions every day to love somebody, and you have to continue to choose to love them, even though you don't feel like it some days. So it really is a conscious choice. So if you're unhappy in your relationship, or you're afraid to get in a relationship because you don't know how to do any of this, the first thing that you can practice is being true to yourself. You know, say yes when you mean yes. Say no when you mean no. Start speaking up.
And that's simple. And that's
simple.
That's a simple thing. That's what we're saying is, you know, this is brilliant what you've just said. So if you're listening to this show, why don't you try this for a day? Why don't you try, no matter what happens in that day, saying yes when you mean yes and saying no when you mean no?
And
just try one day of that.
Let me go one step further. If you're not feeling loved in your relationship, I bet you aren't loving that person.
Yep.
So instead of worrying about what they're doing, worry about yourself. And start loving them the way you want to love them, independent of how you want to be loved. This is not a tit for tat. It's not about I gave a present so I get a present back. It's about how you want to be in the world. If you want to be a loving person, you love that person. And what you're going to find is when you open yourself up and you become vulnerable and you really love them, it's often, usually, going to be reciprocated.
Wow. Well, thank you both. I want to ask you this last question. Today is Valentine's Day, and some people say, you know, you should make Valentine's Day every day. I wanted to ask each of you, what would be your Valentine's Day wish for women? I'd like to ask you that, Dr. Stan. What would your Valentine's Day wish for women be? And, Rhonda, for men?
Okay, I think my wish for the women out there is to really work on loving themselves first and foremost so that they can really engage in a relationship where they're authentic and honest and where they can really feel loved for who they are. And I think that's so important. So, you know, as I said before, women who fake it, you know, will never make it because they'll break before they make it.
Mm. And my Valentine's Day wish for the men out there is not to look at love as only a sexual exploit, but actually an opportunity for them to be emotionally vulnerable. You know, for a man to be emotionally vulnerable, for me personally, is such a turn-on because I'm really getting to see the man that's in front of me. And it's so heart-opening for women to see a man who's willing to be true to himself and speak his truth from an emotional place. So for the men out there, I wish you the opportunity and the courage to be emotionally vulnerable with your mate. As you discover more and more of that freedom, I think you'll discover a deeper love than you ever thought possible.
Well, thank you both. Thank you, Rhonda. Thank you, Dr. Katz. Thank you so much for joining the show today. So many blessings to both of you and much success. Rhonda, your upcoming book, and folks can get that right now if you just let us know, Amazon.com.
Amazon.com, or you can go to fearlessliving.org. It's called Do I Look Fat in This? Get Over Your Body and On With Your Life. And it comes out March 2nd, so be on the lookout for that. And also, of course, you can reach Dr. Stan at fearlessliving.org. Just look, because we're going to teach a teleclass together. Dr. Stan will teach one. So jump on fearlessliving.org and, of course, startingovertv.com.
All right. Thank you both so much. Happy Valentine's Day to you. And I feel the love for both of you.
Thank you,
Dr. Pat. All right, everyone. Have yourselves a great, great day. And really tap into the love and the magnificence that you are. I'm Dr. Pat Basile. This is the Dr. Pat Show. And thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week, same time.
Thank you for listening to The Dr. Pat Show, radio to thrive by. To contact Dr. Pat, visit thedrpatshow.com. Tune in next Tuesday for another dynamic hour of The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile.